I just need to get into this message, okay? So we've been talking about the Savior. We've been talking about do you qualify for a Savior? It's really been ministering to me that unfortunately, sometimes we look at a Savior as, oh, come and save my soul, Lord. Okay, you're born again. You get to go to heaven. And boop. And then we don't hear from him or he doesn't hear from us for a while. But when you realize who he is our Savior, he redeems us, he saves us. We need him all the time. I don't like to emphasize the darkness of this world, but I mean, we're in a spiritual battle all the time. There is darkness in this world. There are evil people. There are bad things. This thing fell. This thing has been cursed. This thing is waiting to be set free. It isn't in opposition. You are swimming upstream all the time. Get used to it. Stop looking for the pads on the side where you can park, you know, and just relax, because it's an ongoing deal. And then we talked about Shama, and we talked about how Shama is the ability to hear God. As I look into the future, I think, what do we really need and where we're going into? We're, you know, I just happen to print out my profit and loss for my personal, and I go, man, our food bill's up. Things are more expensive, aren't they? And I will tell you, we got a city water came by and said, you guys used 227,000 gallons of water last month. I go, what? That's an awful big pile of water. I got a big swimming pool. It's only 15,000 gallons, you know. And he said, we use 227. I said, well, man, we're okay, thanks. Well, I found out it's probably mostly a sprinkler system. We did find out. Jesse helped me fix a leak out there in that system. But it might just take that much to. Everybody said, well, you got a beautiful grass. Yeah, but it. You want that beautiful grass? You pay the $600. It may turn brown. I'm just warning you. Okay? But anyway, I'm finding. Anyway. And I thought, so with everything coming on, what do we really need? As your pastor, I'm saying, God, what do I instruct? What do we do? You know, the future looks, you know, Enrico's on his way today. He's in Sioux City right now, headed down. He worked a lot for John and Dolly and did their house. And so Marty and I got to go look at his work and all that. And when he left there, they gave him a card and made him read it out loud, and he couldn't read it out loud. He started crying. They start crying, and I started crying, and he's on his way, and, man, things are really popping. But I thought, you know, nothing stays the same. And somehow we have this thing in us that wants everything to stay the same. It's called homeostasis. Your heart doesn't want things to change. It's in a constant battle trying to, you know, find normality. How many of you heard, well, I wish things would get back to normal. There is no such thing. It's a fantasy. What do we really need to enter into the future? You know, and some of us are getting older, and I thought, you know, I think about it probably more than I need to, but I think about my last few moments on earth. How are they going to go? Who's going to be around me? How am I going to say goodbye to you guys? My family and all that. And I think, you know, what do I really want, Lord, from that moment? And you know what I want is I want Shama. I want to have a heart that hears him all the way through. Not just wants to get saved, not just to get to heaven. I want to hear him all the time. And we need a Savior all the time. And that's who he is, and that's what he does. You know, the people where I shared with you about the guy that was healed of, I don't know, what was it? Can't remember what disease he had, but you know, it's where he wanted to move this arm and this arm goes. But he said when Jesus appeared to him when he was about 20 years old, he said he took time and he said he explained who he was to me. That's a profound statement. Jesus on the road to Emmaus explained to the disciples who he was, starting with Moses. So the key to life is knowing who he is, his nature, and what he does. And he is our Savior, and we need him. And I don't know, I've just been a lot more focused on the fact, boy, I need that Savior. I need him to rescue me. I want him to rescue me. I don't want to wait till I'm in trouble, then cry out, Jesus. I want to just get up in the morning and say, Jesus, you're my Savior. Let's walk together. Amen? So after that message, the Lord told me to turn to Luke 14, 33. And so I turned to Luke 14, 33. This scripture, back in the fall of 1973, I'm in Bible college. I'm seeking the Lord. I didn't go down there to get a degree. I went down there to get my life solid and straight. So I went down, and amazing enough, I went down and I said, man, God, I need to get solid with you. My wishy-washy life is making me sick to my stomach and just so horrible. And so I didn't go down there for any other reason, but I even said, I'll just forget about girls for a while. That's a miracle right there. Miracle number one, forget about all the partying and all that. Miracle number two, I just said, I want to know you. I want to grow with you. And that's what I did. We started having Bible studies. We started getting in trouble with the Bible. It's a Bible college I went to. We started being in trouble because we were staying out too late at night, having prayer meetings and that kind of stuff. And I didn't conform to the whole thing. But this verse was a major part of my growth. It's Luke 14:33. Is that what I said? And Jesus says, So then, none of you can be my disciple. None of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. What a verse. You know, I was thinking about how you can eat the Word of God and you can get some manna and you get some flavor out of it, but then you come back later and you... I don't know why, but it just hit me today. It's like back in 1973, he handed me that chunk of meat. I licked the barbecue sauce off and was satisfied. I said, that's good. That's really good. And it radically changed my life. And yet he takes me back to it now, and I start chewing on the meat. I can't believe how much is in Luke 14:33. So I'm going to share some of that with you today, that flavor. So, so then none of you can be my disciple. So what does that mean? Obviously, he's talking to the people right there. But obviously, he's talking to us right here. So none of you can be my disciple. Unless you give up all your own possession. I don't know about you, but I took that real literally. My brother knows that, my sister. When I came back home, I got in trouble. I didn't get in trouble. We just had a big meeting when I left Bible college in the middle of the semester. I said, the Lord told me to leave. And it was a big controversy. Why would God call you to Bible college and have you leave in the middle of the semester? I said, why would I? Well, why wouldn't he? I mean, I needed to be there for that short a period of time, and now it was time to go on. And literally what I was going to do is just go from city to city and wash dishes and do all that, because we lived on the farm the whole time. We never got off. We didn't really go anywhere. That's all I knew. That's the only culture I knew. I thought, I really don't know much about life. I just thought I'd probably go from city to city and see how people live. And just, you know, scared me out of my mind. Who wants to? I was an introvert, you know. And that was kind of my plan. Anyway, we had this meeting, and one of the scriptures that came out was this scripture right here about discipleship. It'll cost you everything. When I kind of thought I gave up every possession, because the only possessions I really had was a guitar that I really liked and a hat that looked better than other people. And a few other things, and I gave it all away. I didn't have a lot of possessions to give away, I thought. But, you know, and through the years, I've heard people, you know, that came across this scripture, and they got this brand. One of my friends up in Montana had a brand new pickup, and he came across this, and he just said, he gave his brand new pickup away. And there was that was kind of like, well, what are you doing that for? You know, whatever. And then, but let's talk a little bit about discipleship. What is a disciple? And the word is really kind of simple. It's a pupil. It's somebody that's being trained. It's somebody that's being taught. So Jesus said, none of you can be my pupil, my student, unless you give up all your own possessions. It doesn't mean that you can't get born again. It doesn't mean you can't get spirit-filled. It doesn't mean you can't be walking with God. You know, but he's just saying, if you want me to mentor you, this is the only way, this is how it's going to happen. I remember Shama is having a hearing heart. And that word hearing means not just hearing here. It means hear with your heart. And when he speaks to you, you actually do it. So let's go like Luke 6:40 says this. No pupil will ever be above his teacher. You can't get better than Jesus. You can't get better than your Savior. But he does say, but if you're fully trained, you'll be like your teacher. So that gives us this idea that we're born again, we're headed to heaven, but that's not really the whole story. We need a Savior every day, and we need one who disciples us, one who trains us. And when we're fully trained, which means there's a process of training, amen, you'll be like him. Well, what does that mean? Can you imagine being like Jesus? I mean, being fully trained like Jesus. I mean, here we got the Olympics going on. Holy cow. The amount of time and effort they put into being trained. You know, and I've always said this, you know, if you really want the gold medal, you don't coach yourself. You get many coaches. Key to the factor, right? If you're going to be fully trained, instead of just having this vision that, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven, and I hope God can kind of help me throughout the time, prosper, and have a good family and all that. Compare that to the vision of, I want to be his disciple. I want to be fully trained. I want to be fully trained. What does that mean? It means you just not only know it in your heart, your head, but you know it in your heart. And what it means is your soul now is trained to do what you're created to be, righteous, the way you're supposed to be, which is like him. How was he? He was full of power. He's full of peace. He was full of love. He's full of compassion. He's full of justice. He was full of righteousness. He understood. He heard the voice of the Spirit of God. He moved by the Spirit of God. When he spoke, the tree was cursed. Whatever he did, you know, that's our goal. That's a whole lot different goal than, hallelujah, I got saved back in 1945. Amen. So he goes on to say, he says, so then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions. Let's go back up one more time. Be my disciple. Now, I think one of the problems we've had in the church is we've taken this and people got the wrong idea and they thought they were supposed to be a disciple of the pastor. They thought they were supposed to be a disciple of this guru. They thought they might be, some of them become, disciple comes from the word discipline. It's kind of like, I like this illustration. If you want to shoot something, I've got this little .22 pistol. It's a really short little barrel. And so far I've wounded one little rabbit. And that's about it. I have not been able to hit nothing with that thing. But I know this, that if I pull out my rifle that's a lot longer, I've got a lot better chance of hitting it. Why? Because the discipline of the rifle barrel conforms that little bullet going through there longer, spins it so that it stays straighter and hits its mark. That's discipline. Is to have friends that help you hit the mark. Discipline is not all you just get punished. Discipline is that which comes alongside of you to help you hit the mark of your life. If we want to be a disciple, we're going to be a disciple of what? Jesus. Not a denomination. Not a set of rules. So many people, they become a student of a philosophy or, whatever, instead of a disciple of Jesus. Aren't you glad that he didn't ask you to take all that you have and give it to a church? Or give it to an organization? Or give it to some wise guy? And yet it's been done over and over and over and over. And then they get burned, and then they get bitter, and then they don't even want to talk about Jesus. The problem was they didn't become a disciple of Jesus, they became a disciple of something else. Now, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, that means he then becomes our personal coach, our trainer. We become the student and he teaches us. When will that be finished? When will you graduate? When will you be fully trained? Well, definitely not this year. And I want to just, you know why sometimes we don't wake up in the morning and you go, whoa, yeah. Because we really don't know what we're shooting for. We're aimless. And aimlessness brings discouragement. Aimless makes you messed up. The mornings I get up and go, yeah, are the mornings I wake up and I got something I really want to go do. You know, watch a little kid and tell him, get up in the morning, but say, we're going fishing it, and we're going to get up at 4. And that kid will be up before you if they love fishing. Now, if you're like me, you probably won't, but fish stink. But without a vision, the people perish. Without having something to aim for, it's like our neighbor when this house burned down. Yeah, Lisa yelled, there's a fire. I came out of the basement going, where, what? I step out on my deck and I look over the neighbors. Here's flames and here's this pop, 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 boom, ba, 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 ba. It hit the garage where all the ammo was. Sound like fireworks. And you wonder when you drive up, you know, on the four-wheeler or ran over there, how close can I get? What's the safe range here? Now, most of you know that if a bullet just gets hot and blows up, it's not going to go anywhere, really. But it might be some shrapnel going flying. I mean, you know, but if a bullet is in a rifle and it gets hot, it's going to shoot it. The difference between being mindful of where you're going and having a goal and being aimless is radical in every area of our life. Affects our health, affects our relationship, affects everything. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to what? Give up all your own possessions. And like I said, I licked the barbecue sauce off this scripture years ago. And gave up my guitar and gave up my cat and gave up all that stuff. But that's really not what I was talking about. I think if we understand, see, I wouldn't be an Olympic gold medalist for 1,001 reasons. And the first reason is I don't want to pay that kind of a price. I mean, I think if you want to, fine, but it just almost, I can honor it, but sometimes I think it's stupid. For young kids, don't give me that's probably a poor illustration when the Olympics is going on, but it's life. But the amount of time they spend away from family, the amount of time they brutalize their body, and then they get there and they get the flu. Man, to me, that's just way too risky. To have that much desire for something that you lay everything down and then get to the end and go, sorry, you lost. And you didn't even get to play because you were sick. That just is, I'd rather not set myself up for that. It's just not worth it to me. But what would be worth it? And I think to be fully trained, to be who I was created to be from the foundations of the earth, not to be somebody else, not to be competing with anybody else, not to be comparing myself with anybody else, not to be critical of anybody else, and not to be anything except this, I am who I am. And I'm fully trained to be me. That's a goal that I would like to have. I'd like to be who I'm supposed to be. I'd like to have all that I need. And I'd like to be excellent at it. I didn't study much in school, okay? I'm not the role model for school. Ask anybody. Don't talk to Papa about school. I rejoice Rachel, when your son graduated, I was shouting hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was so glad to get out of there. I mean, I partied. I had a good time. I was a class clown and all that, but it's like, whew, that's over. Whew, ah. And I'm still that way. I don't like yielding myself to some institution or anything that I don't really want to be in agreement with, and I don't want to be in agreement with this world system. I want to be who I was. And all that can be so much comparison and all that. And I said, I want to be who I'm supposed to be. I really want to be good at it. And so one time I actually did study for this one test. It's still in my memory. It was the first and the last. And so I studied actually really hard for this test. And I was in, I think it was in electronics, and I was getting like A minuses. And I studied really hard for this test. I gave it kind of almost all I had. I'd like to say I gave it all I had, but there's a reason why I won't say that. I'll explain that. I gave it almost everything I had, but I wanted to leave a little cushion. Because if I failed, I wanted to say, well, I didn't quite give it all I had. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You set yourself up to be able to say, oh, yeah, I didn't try that hard. You know, it was literally a fear of mine to give something everything I had. Because then I'd have to face the fact that that's all I got. I really had a fear. And do. I do. And so I studied, and I got a C. And I go, man, this is a bad experiment. I ain't doing this again. No, because I was really close to giving it all I got, and I got a C. I don't think I could handle giving it all I got and get a B when I'm just kind of skating along getting A's. I think I'm going back to my old system. And I think I'm not alone in this. A lot of people are really afraid of who they really are and who they're really supposed to be. Because deep down inside, you know it's going to cost you everything to be righteous, to be who you really are meant to be. And that means you're not going to impress almost anybody here on earth. You're not going to get the accolades from everybody. You're not going to be in the part of the class that gets to wear the gold tassel on the right side or left side. I forget that. In other words, you might be swimming upstream all by yourself all the time to be who you really are. And that's scary. Especially if you think you're doing it. Let me put it this way. My fear leaves me when I know that I'm doing it because he's my Savior. I'm okay if all of you dislike me, if all of you hate me, if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is pleased with me. That's the place of peace. That's the place of joy. That's the place of energy. That's the place of love. That's the place of freedom. It's an incredible place. So now let's go to the give up all your own possessions. Again, this last week I bit into the meat a little bit more than I had before because this first changed my life. But I look back and I go, man, it was. I was just barely getting the salt and pepper off. Possessions. Really means your existence. Your beginning below your very start of existing. So what do you possess? Well, first of all, you possess life. You have a life. And then with that, again, don't we mostly, when we think of that verse, don't you think most people think about their truck and their checking account and their savings account and go, well, I don't know. And like, man, I'll give it to you, Jesus, but I ain't giving it to nobody else. Especially that preacher up there asking for it all the time. Rightfully so, man. Rightfully so. No wonder people don't want to show up. But if I give it to you, if I know that it's going to you, so be it. So what do you possess? And this is something I think I'm encouraging you to ask your own self this as you walk away today. What do you possess that you could give up? And as I start meditating on this, man, the list got longer and longer. I possess powers. I possess communication skills. I possess a body. I possess the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I possess the power of God. I possess the world. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I own everything. You own everything? You own the future. You own the past. You own everything. And I got to think, man, here's the deal. You can't get him to be your personal trainer to speak to you on every little situation and train you and equip you to be who you really are unless you give it all up to him. You ever wonder why we're not better at Christians than we are? Have you ever thought, especially those of us who believe in God, believe in the power of God, believe in miracles, believe in all that God, believe in the Holy Spirit leading us, and then sometime I go, man, we're falling so short. What's going on? But then I look at this verse and I go, this could be the little tweak on the carburetor. Maybe it's a bigger thing of a tweak. Do I really give him everything I possess and qualify? I'm already qualified as a child of God, but I want to qualify as a disciple. I want Jesus to be my everyday, moment-by-moment coach to train, not to do it for me, to train me to do it. Equip me, train me to where I know what to do in the moment. I know how to do it. I got the power to do it. I got fear in me even speaking this, like, don't get your hopes too high, boy. You're going to get disappointed. At the same time, something is burning inside saying, man, for such a time as this, I exist to be me. And I've taken me this many years to come to a point of saying, I want to not be afraid of what people think of me. I just want to be me. I don't want to compare. I don't want to criticize. I want to be me. And I want to look in the mirror and say, I love you, John Williamson. And I can do that if I give up all that I possess. Now, let me shift into something that I'm just now back to licking the barbecue sauce off this. But I think I'm onto something. I think I'm feeling some flavor here of, this might be really good. What else do you possess? You possess memories that haunt you. You possess DNA that comes from your ancestors way back. You possess attitudes, strengths, weaknesses. You exist. You have a lot in you that's been being laid up for thousands of years. You possess the reality that God knew you before the foundations of the world and had a plan for you. You possess his plans, his equipment, his everything. And you also possess every nasty, disgusting seed that Satan has planted in you to destroy you, to take your life away. Every day we hear this. And it's just new names, but it's the same thing. We possess the fears in our life, the hurts and the disappointments of the things that have been said to us, the things that have been done to us, and our perception of those things. And many times that possession that we hold of being hurt, messed up, It's ours, and it keeps us from going forward. It destroys our marriages. I mean, I don't want to name too many things because it's you got to really let yourself get out into the deep water here and say, what do I possess? I possessed a fear of giving something my very best. I did. I've noticed that. For whatever reason, the Lord had me notice that in high school. I've noticed it all my life. I know this. One of the biggest things that holds me back is a fear of if I give it all I got, I'm going to have to live with that. And I feel so much better since I gave up hope. And yet there's something inside saying, yeah, but who are you? You are in the image of God. You have been in his thoughts for a gazillion years. You are anything but average. Oh, my soul! Can you break forth just a little bit and get gutsy and step out into the unknown and say, I want to be me. I want to hit the mark. Put me in that long barrel, Lord. Squeeze me down to where I hit the mark. Oh, help me, Lord, because I possess fear. I really do. It's mine. I own it. And all of a sudden, this verse goes like this. Paul, Jesus says this, unless you give up all your own possessions of fear, hurts, disappointments, anxieties, phobias, you can't be my disciple. Because you can't hear me when you're all messed up listening to that stuff. Amen. Try to talk to a little kid that's bleeding because he's got a fish hook in his finger and tell him, be calm. Don't jerk on it. He doesn't hear you. And then you see him reach for it, and you know he's going to do it. Don't do it! I'm dying. I see blood. If we can give up all that we possess to him, we can start being trained. And I don't care how old you are. You're not too old. You know when I want to do when I depart from this earth, you know what I really desire? I want to hear him. I want to be talking with him. I don't want to be thinking, and I don't want to be on my deathbed saying, ooh, I'm going into the darkness. And I've talked to a lot of people on their deathbed. I've been with them. And one lady, she told me, she said, I fell down. Everything went black. I didn't like it. Who likes black? I don't like it. She said, but I could hear the voices. And she said, I cried for help, and people came, and I could hear the voices. But she said, in a little bit, I just kept moving into the darkness, and all of a sudden, their voices were like a long ways away from me. I could barely hear them. She says, I didn't like the process. And I don't know how it'll go for you, and I don't know how it'll go for me, but I tell you what, I want to have my Savior with me in those last moments. And I want him to be with me every moment of every day until then. And I want to hit the mark. And I want to be fully trained. And I want to learn what it means to give up all my possessions. And somehow in my heart, I'm thinking, hey, I think somebody with PTSD, somebody with deep anxiety, somebody with fear, phobias, I think there's hope here. That if they can realize that they own those and that they can give them up, they'll be able to hear him and be trained by him And how fun would it be to be free? How fun would it be free? From now until he leaves, to be free from the stuff that has plagued us from the time we were born. I want a Savior. I got a Savior. You got a Savior. I want to get trained. Do you want to get trained? I'm going to give up. And all of a sudden, instead of saying, oh, do I have to give up my hat? My guitar? It's like, oh, you mean I really can't give up that which I inherited from my parents? Those attitudes, those fears, that hatred, that bitterness. I can give that up. I can give up all that pain. I can give up all that. I can give up all my potential, what I could do in life, and have your potential. I want to give it up. Would you stand with me, please? So you, hallelujah. So then, none of you can be my disciple unless you give up all of yourself, your potential, your fears, your goodness, your badness, everything. And if you do, I'll start teaching you and training you to wield your sword to where you speak to the mountain and it disappears. If that doesn't scare you, you're probably not really listening to me. But if it doesn't also make your heart kind of beat and skip and say, what would it be like to be me? Free. I know I'm not alone here, Jesus. But I will stand before you alone. Each one of these people will stand alone. They won't stand with some denomination. They won't stand with a church. They won't even stand with their wife or husband. They won't stand with their kids. They won't stand with their parents. Each one of us will give an account of our life directly to you, so we might as well just give up all that other stuff now and say, I want a Savior. I want a trainer. I want to be who I am supposed to be. And I want to be powerful. And I want to be full of joy. And I want to see the mark, and I want to hit the mark, and I want to be excellent at it. And I'm scared out of my mind. I need you to save me and deliver me. I say, yes, I will give up all that I possess. So be it. Help me, Jesus.